This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That's the newest Florida Panther, Brad Marchand, at his introductory press conference in Sunrise, Florida, or wherever they do that.
He's got the Panther pullover. He's got the hat on.
Oh, I didn't even see it. He got all the gear?
Oh, he's got the gear.
Nice.
Yeah, it's weird. And I saw the jerseys in the pro shop, 63 with the Panthers. It's a weird look.
It's good. Good looking uni, though.
Did you buy one?
Not yet.
You got it shipped up here?
I'll get it here in a couple of weeks. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe. Here on WEEI, we're joined now by Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, Sunday Skate, joining us here. What's up, Scott?
What's up, guys?
You able to take a little bit of a breather after all the action on Friday? I know you guys were on yesterday breaking it all down, but that was a wild hour plus the way the NHL does it, 2-3 hours with all the details coming in. That was quite a roller coaster.
Deals to actually happen, and then 2.5 of them all to get processed.
Oh my god!
Exactly. So, what do you make of all of it? You've had some time to process and look back at it. What do you make of all of it, starting with Marchand on Friday?
Well, it's a much bigger blow up retool than I think most of us anticipated, right? Like, we had discussed all these trades individually as possibilities, but then it was the fact that it was all of it happening. Marchand, Coyle, and Carlo. It's like, that's a real gutting of your core. It's not quite all the way down to the studs. You still have the foundation of Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman, but it's like wiping out the three floors above it. Like, you know, it went deeper than I think any of us were thinking. And now, you know, how long does it take is like the next big thing, because Don Sweeney comes out, meets with the media on Friday and says, you know, we're hoping to be competitive right again, you know, very next year. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. That's going to be a tough one. Like, if they're going to be back next season, there's so much work to do. Like, that, I would be highly skeptical of that. So, yeah, just a kind of a crazy reset for this franchise and ultimately a massive day.
You know, as it relates to Marchand, clearly the contract was a holdup. It didn't sound like, and we played the Elliott Friedman stuff earlier, it didn't sound like they were really lowballing him or expecting him to take a Bergeron-type Chara discount. If they were offering him the same that he's making now, 6.1, if they're at 6.3, like DJ Bean said, and they agreed to 3 years, any idea what kind of money Marchand was looking for? Or like, what was really the breaking point here?
Yeah, because Elliott Friedman also said on 32 Thoughts this morning that there was still a sizable gap.
Right.
So that makes you think, like, Marchand must have been looking for over seven.
But, like, 6.3 to 7? I mean, I guess we're talking percentages. It's such a small number compared to other sports. But I don't know. Like, at some point, did the Bruins really, really want him? Because if they weren't willing to go up 500K, or if they couldn't like come together on that, I don't know. I just wonder how much they were like ready to rip the Band-Aid off and sort of start anew.
I think there was an element of that. I mean, clearly when you cut this deep, it's inspired by a couple things. Like, one is that it was a seller's market on everyone other than Marchand, it turned out. Like,
right.
You know, and obviously the injury complicates that, but Carlo and Coyle, you got really good returns. So like, that's why you pull the trigger on those trades. But yeah, I think they've been shocked by how this season has gone, and they've been waiting for things to get right all year. It never happened. And I think they felt like we need to do more than just a couple cosmetic changes around the edge. Whether that was going to start now or take place over the summer, they needed to go deeper at some point, and the market was there to do it now. And as it relates to Marchand, you weren't going to be able to trade him over the summer because he would have just walked as a free agent if there was still this gap. So, yeah, it's an underwhelming return, but ultimately they decided they still wanted to take what they could get now rather than risk him leaving for nothing in the summer.
Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, Sunday Skate. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. Follow him, SMcLaughlin9 on Twitter. What was the market for Marchand in terms of other options to trade him, and why Florida? Was that where he wanted to go? I've been suggesting out of spite. Was that really the Bruins' only option? Did they have other options and they did him a solid? Why Florida?
Yeah, I think this is where the Bruins did him a solid. Was he wanted to stay on the East Coast. He wants to be a short flight to family. And ultimately, they worked with him on that. Because I do think there were Western Conference teams interested. Now, a couple of them went other directions. Colorado gets Brock Nelson instead, and then Charlie Coyle on top of that. Dallas ends up with the big blockbuster for Mikko Rantanen. I'd heard Vegas. I'd heard the LA Kings. And, you know, Vegas, look, maybe there's the Bruce Cassidy connection. Marchand has a good relationship for him with him. Like, maybe that would have been in play. Vegas ultimately went small at the deadline. They got Riley Smith, and that was really it. So, you know, a little out of character for them. And I don't know if he wanted to go to LA. Like, that's, you know, that's West Coast. I think he really wanted to stay East. And that is where the Bruins worked with him and did him a solid.
Jacobs, Neely, and Sweeney all put out statements after this happened. And the thing that really jumped out to me, well, to us, we were talking about it, was Jacobs really backing Sweeney and Neely as far as like the rebuild and going forward. Did you read it the same way? And are you surprised that Sweeney, based on the season that they're having, is as safe as it may appear?
I'm not surprised for now. Okay. Because you don't let Don Sweeney have a day like Friday if you're thinking about firing him after the season. Like, if Sweeney's a lame duck GM, the dictate from ownership is, hey, sell off Frederick, sell off Brazo, and that's it. And we'll save the bigger stuff for the offseason. And in their minds, it would be because we're going to have a new GM and we'll let him handle it. So Sweeney is, in my mind, safe through the summer now. He's going to get a chance to start this retool. The big question is, how long does he get? And what does next season have to look like? Like, are the Jacobs expecting next season to be competitive again, like Sweeney said they could be? Like, is that the expectation? So then what happens if they start slow and they're trending towards another non-playoff year? Like, is he out next year? Or are they understanding and accepting of something a little longer term? Like, is this a 2-3 year plan?
Well, if you had to guess, I'm sorry to jump in, but if you had to guess based on their track record, they're not going to wait 2 or 3 years. They want this team back in the playoffs next year, right?
That's generally how it goes with the Jacobs. Yeah, usually if you miss the playoffs once or twice, you're out as GM. So we'll see. Maybe they're in some new spot. Maybe it's maybe they believe in Cam Neely enough that they take his word on, you know, hey, Don's the right guy for this. But generally, they have not exhibited any patience at all for prolonged retools or rebuilds.
You mentioned you like the return for Carlo and Coyle. I'd add Frederick too. Like, I thought all of those were good returns. Middlestad, I guess, is more polarizing than maybe I realized. That
kid do a pull up.
Oh, that's true. That is true. What'd you say? He benched 160 once at the combine.
Yeah. He's a pro athlete, 160 pounds, which is such an odd weight to bench. But whatever. They do 160 at the NHL trade or the NHL combine. He did it one time.
He's basically me. I mean, when it comes to strength, he's basically me. So I get that. But I felt like that was an okay return. But you tell me, why did you like the return specifically for Coyle and Carlo? What are they getting back?
Yeah, I like the return for Coyle because I think, look, Casey Middlestad is a little bit polarizing. He showed a lot of promise in Buffalo, has a 59-point season. Even the year split between Buffalo and Colorado, 57. Trending towards, like, a bona fide second-line center. Gets off to a good start this year, then starts to struggle, regresses to the point where Colorado's like, he can't be our number two center if we're going to go on a run. They get Brock Nelson, then they're like, you know what? We don't even love him as our number three center. We're trading him for Charlie Coyle. So he's got to get back on track. Now, he is more I'd say offensively gifted and more of a playmaker, more offensive-minded than the centers the Bruins usually go after. He's not this, you know, great two-way guy, going to handle defensive zone starts, great on faceoffs. He's something different. Well, they need something different. So, to me, that's a chance worth taking. And if it doesn't work out, it's only 2 years. Like, it's not – you're not locked in for seven with this guy. I like the prospect they got. I like the pick they got. And the Carlo trade, again, like the prospect, Fraser Minton, like –
Is he a prospect, or is he a guy? He's going to be a guy who's going to be helping.
He's already just about ready. He's 20. He's played 19 NHL games. He's probably going to start in Providence here, but like he's not far off. And then you get the first-round pick on top of it.
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, it's funny, looking this up, since 2000, every time they've missed the playoffs, they've missed it for 2 years. So it's like a two-year rebuild, retool, and then they get back.
Well, pattern going on.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, unfortunately, not nice. If they missed this year, which it feels like they're going to.
And real bad news
based
for Sweeney.
On track record next year. Yeah, really, it would be bad news for Sweeney. Another question that's come up is, I know no one's going to wear the C the rest of the season. There's no captain. Next year, who's going to be the captain?
I think it's going to be David Pastrnak. I think he's really stepped up as a leader this season. Obviously, a tough year and even a tough start for him, you know. Personally, he's turned it on since the turn of the new year. But I've been impressed with how he's handled all of this and the things he said when he's met with the media after, just things you hear about how he's handling the locker room. And even just look at the chaos of Friday and Saturday, David Pastrnak was the only thing even resembling a leader around that locker room. Like, Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm are back in Boston rehabbing.
Right.
There is only one guy in that room that everyone is turning to when they're like, what the heck is going on? And it's Pastrnak. And I don't know if you can entirely credit him with how they played Saturday, but like whatever happened in that room, they came out and played a heck of a game against what was the hottest team in the NHL. So let's see how the rest of this year goes. But Pastrnak is still, at least for a while here, going to be really the only leader around. He was the only one wearing a letter on his jersey Saturday. And that might not change until or unless Charlie McAvoy comes back.
So if he's the leader in your eyes, why not just make him the captain? Like, what's the holdup?
Because they'll take the offseason to reset it and, you know, have team vote, have management have a say in it, all that stuff during training camp next year. They've done that before. Like, I don't think they had a C after they traded Thornton. There was even, I think after, like, they moved on from Jason Allison or something. Like, there's another gap in there somewhere where they didn't have a C right away.
Now, I don't think there's a chance after hearing both sides, but some are still holding out on the Brad Marchand will just re-sign with the Bruins in the offseason. Do you think that's dead, or is there any hope of that?
Like Don Sweeney, I will not completely close the door, but I think it's unlikely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, look, they had all season to negotiate a contract and couldn't bridge whatever this gap was. It's hard to imagine them bridging it in the offseason unless Marchand just doesn't get the offer he thinks is going to be out there for him. Like,
yeah, what do you think his market is?
It's probably around $7 million. Yeah. Like, I was looking this morning. The Athletic has like these like player cards that are analytically based, but, you know, projected players' value, and they have Marchand at 7.1. Like, that seems about right to me.
Although he points to Elias Lindholm, and he's like, well, he makes more than that. Yeah. Like, I should probably make more than that.
Well, and just, you know, he's not Stamkos, but we were kind of kicking this around before the show. Stamkos making $8 million a year, and he's older than Stamkos, and he's not the same player Stamkos was, but, like, 7 to me sounds about right. And maybe he's more willing to take 7 from a new team than he was to take 7, which is still less than Lindholm and McAvoy and Pasternak and Swayman and all these other guys here. So maybe he's more willing to do it. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We can take some phone calls here with Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, on Jones and Keefe. Phil is in New Hampshire. What's up, Phil?
Hello. I am really happy with the trade deadline. I'm happy with the returns. I think Sweeney's great at setting the table. I do question, though, is he the right guy to identify elite talent when it's time to make the trades with all these beautiful assets that we have? And then the other thing I wanted to point out is, hey, remember when Cassidy got pushed out the door? Those three players that were the players that were pushing him out, and it was Jake DeBrusk. And then there were two more, Trent Frederick and Brandon Carlo. So they kind of got rid of the guys that were, you know, vocal in the locker room questioning a coach, which I also like. So I kind of like where they are. I just want to know if you guys have confidence in Sweeney to identify, A, the correct coach for the team, and then build a team that fits that coach after he gets them, and identify elite talent and make the right trades.
Phil, good questions. Let's put the coach thing to the side for a second. Sweeney, are they going to use these draft picks and draft, or are they going to use these draft picks and try to package them together for players? Like, I know it's early to have the answer to that, but like, what's your instinct on that?
Probably a little of both, which is kind of a lame answer, but like, you have to make some picks. Their prospect pool is so thin that you have to use some of these. You have to have some young talent coming along here in the next few years. At the same time, I don't think they're going to hold on to all of these, because there is still going to be this team just has a lot of holes to fill. So they're not going to trade them for like rentals or anything crazy like that, but I think they are going to try to target young players who, you know, maybe could get more of an opportunity here than where they are now. Bring them in. Like, you know, people use the Washington Capitals example of the retool they've done these last 2 years. Well, Capitals took the first round pick that they got from the Bruins for Dmitry Orlov, flipped it to Toronto for Rasmus Sandin, who was kind of like promising young defenseman, but in and out of the lineup in Toronto. People didn't really know if he was a fit there. Well, now he's a clear top four defenseman on a Capitals team that is at the top of the standings. So I think the Bruins will look for trades like that as well, where it's like, hey, there's a good player that team isn't using the way we'll use him. Let's go try to get him.
You know, to the caller's point too about, you know, in previous years, they would just get rid of the coach and then hope that would fix everything. Now you get rid of so many players. Do you think the trades were just based on the players on the ice and like what they could get in return, or do you think chemistry played a factor in these as well?
So I think it was mostly based on just what they can get in return, but I also think they weren't sad to shake up the locker room a bit. You know, I don't know that was the driving force where it was like, we have to trade these guys because our locker room's a mess. Like, I don't think it was that, but I also think they recognize that this team, what I keep coming back to with this season is like, how often they've just let things get away. Like, whether it's in a game that they allow a 1 or 2 goal deficit to turn into a blowout, or 1 or 2 losses to turn into a losing streak. And like, that's stuff that just didn't happen before. They always found a way to fight back and like pull themselves out of it. And they haven't been able to. And that's where I think they look at the room and go like, well, maybe it's time for a little bit of a shakeup.
Real quick, how do you think Marchand does in Florida?
I think he'll be great there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to fit right in. Now,
will they play him, Bennett, and Tkachuk on the same line?
That's what I hope. That'd that's what everyone
great.
Hopes.
Yeah, that really would be great.
That would be great.
It would be, it would be bittersweet for Bruins fans to watch, but it would be fun. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Joe Sacco has any chance of being the coach next year?
Probably no.
Okay, good. What are you hearing, or what would make sense on the next coach of the Boston Bruins?
The one that I keep clinging to that I've just had stuck in my mind is Mike Sullivan, if the Penguins decide to move on from him, which has been rumored for a while, but he keeps sticking around in Pittsburgh through their never-ending retool. They can't get it right there.
John Henry on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, at some point, they're going to make a change, and if it's this offseason, I would be very interested in the possibility of bringing Mike Sullivan back to Boston.
Okay, he's Scott McLaughlin. Check him out on the Sunday Skate here on WEEI. Check him out on WEEI.com and follow him on Twitter at SMcLaughlin9. Scott, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Scott, the only Bruins writer who will come on this show.
Yeah.
You like that?
Well, it's what we're down to these days. And one of the few who credits hashtag Scoops Keith. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We have more coming in on the Patriots, which we'll get to coming up with all your phone calls. That's next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.